Shantihi Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahavilyan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we were reading before about how then Yudhishthir had answered the Yakshas all his questions. Yaksha then revealed, being pleased with Yudhishthir, revealed himself that he was actually Dharmaraj, his father, and then asked, what he would like. So he asked, let
come back to life.
And so then Dharmaraj was very pleased with that. He was saying, well, why wouldn't you have picked Bhima or Arjuna? He says, because I am alive, that represents, Kunti, but no one's representing Madri, right? Who's also their mother. So then that was the whole point. Is then if Nakula is there, then there's one brother from each. So Dharmaraj was very pleased with that. So he says, I want to give you a boon. So he says, he said, Yudhishthir bowed respectfully before his father. He said, my first desire is that the Agnihotra of the Brahmin whose fire sticks were lost not be destroyed. Right? Because that was the whole thing that they came out there in the first place, was because the Brahmin was in distress because of his yajna spoons were taken. And so now then he's saying that he can put the, that's the first thing, because that's what they've come to do. Right? Because basically, Dharmaraj is looking at the most everybody asks for, something else, but this is his duty, so he always stays within his duties. O son of Kunti, it is I in the form of the deer who carried away those sticks. I shall return them to you. Ask for some other boon. Right? Because he says, he did that just to get them to come and to discuss. And so, that's why also the deer was so expert at taking the spoons and why they couldn't shoot it or catch it. Yudhishthir thought carefully and said, the 12 years of our forest life are now complete. For the 13th year, we must live incognito. Please grant that no man will recognize us during that time. Because the whole point is you can say, the Bhima will be successful or this or that or so many different things. But the point is unless they get through this point of incognito, it doesn't matter. If they find them, again, 12 years in the forest. So be it. Even if you wander about in the world as your actual selves, you will not be recognized. So he's saying, if you just go as you are, no one will notice you. But, they will make the attempt to be incognito. Through my favor, you will lead a secret incognito life in the city of Virat. Now take these fire sticks and ask from me another boon. I am not satisfied with conferring only these two favors. O Yudhishthir, you should know that I begot you. Vidura, your friend and well-wisher, is also part of myself. So Vidura is also a form of Dharma, how he had to take birth as a Shudra. And so therefore then he's showing is that that's how he's always been favoring him as Vidura, and now as his father directly, then he wants to give a... Dharma handed the sticks to Yudhishthir, who replied, O God of gods, it is enough for me that I have seen you. To please you, however, I will accept one further boon. O Lord, grant that I may always overcome avarice, folly, and anger, and that my mind will be always inclined towards charity, asceticism, and truth. Dharma smiled and said, by nature you are gifted with these qualities. O Pandava, you are already the embodiment of virtue, but I grant you your desire. So he's already the embodiment of that, but even more he'll be famous. Right? The god then disappeared, leaving the five Pandavas standing together on the shore of the lake. In wonder, they returned to their hermitage with the Brahmin's fire sticks. Chapter 35, Into Virat. As the rainy season ended, Adomia determined by astrological calculation that the 13 years year of exile was about to commence. The brothers discussed their strategy. Encouraged by Dharma's boon, they were hopeful. Although Duryodhana would undoubtedly send hundreds and thousands of spies all over the world to search for them, he would not find them. But they did not want any chances. Thus, they considered how to best conceal themselves, right? So they don't want to be arrogant. So the whole point is even though they've gotten the boon, it's still their duty. They're supposed to live incognito, so how they should do. So Dharmaraj already gave an indication on how to do that. And so now they're going to. And Duryodhana, you know, he's going to send hundreds and thousands of spies, and he'll say anyone who can find the Pandavas, he'll give some ridiculous amount of money. So everyone will be very, very, you know, if it's one thing, he just tells the guys, go out, look for them, they may like or not. But if he puts a huge reward, then everybody will be very enthusiastic. Yudhishthir spoke to Arjuna. What is your view? How shall we remain incognito? By virtue of Dharma's boon, we shall be able to go about without being discovered. I have no doubt about that. But let us consider carefully the places where we could reside peacefully. I shall name them. Arjuna listed a number of countries where their allies lived and asked Yudhishthir which he felt was most suitable. Yudhishthir replied, Dear brother, what Dharma has said must come to pass. We shall reside in Matsya, the kingdom of Virata. That aged king is powerful, charitable, of righteous disposition, and always favorably disposed towards us. Let us go there as his servants. Tell me how we should each present ourselves to the king. Arjuna replied doubtfully, O virtuous one, how will you become the servant of the king? You are like a god amongst men and have always been the lord of others. How will you submit yourself to a lesser man? Right, because all of them are going to be rot. Now, he's a very pious and powerful king, but compared to them, you know, doesn't have that kind of stature. And because he is a king, but Yudhishthir was emperor of the world. And not only that, how he was emperor was through the Rajasuya, and that's been rarely done in history. It's hardly ever happened. And so Arjuna is doubtful how you are going to submit yourself like this. Yudhishthir reassured Arjuna, There will be no problem. I shall become the king's dicing partner and friend. Presenting myself as Yudhishthir's former personal servant and close friend, Kanka, an expert at gaming, I will offer him and his ministers various kinds of pleasing service. Remember that one sage that came to the forest? Then he taught Yudhishthir, you know, about how gambling works and everything like that, so he'll never be defeated again in that way. You know, and I think he was also the same one that told the story about Nala and Damayanti. And that he lost also by gambling, and then he gained it back because then he learned from another king. I think Rituparna, how to gamble. You know, I mean, the gaming. It's not so much the gambling part, it's the how you roll the dice, how you do those things. I will offer him and his ministers various kinds of pleasing service. So he will come in as a personal assistant, which means he will sit in the court, give advice. You know, when there's free time, he'll play you know, the dice with him, you know, which you can use many forms for it. And this way he'll just spend time with the king. And being who he is, he can give very excellent advice and all that. So the king and his ministers will be very happy. And if they say, oh, he's just like Yudhishthir, because he spends time with him. He was his personal assistant. Yudhishthir turned towards Bhima. Oh, now, O Vrikatar, tell me in what capacity you will enter Virata's city. Bhima had already decided. I will present myself as a cook named Vallabha. Right? I will say that I formerly worked in Yudhishthir's royal kitchens. I am an expert in the kitchen business and will prepare fine dishes for the king's table. I will also please the king by feats of strength and by wrestling. I will overpower elephants and bulls and throw down the best of Virat's wrestlers without killing them. You know, they're just trying to present themselves there because they kill them, that then they move up, become famous in that way, how powerful they are. But he just is, you know, just he's powerful. It'll be entertaining for him. O king, do not fear for me. I will take care of myself. Right? Because his main thing is eating well and in volumes and quality, which he's the cook, no problem. And he needs to do some exercise and this and that to maintain his prowess and all that. Yudhishthir nodded approvingly and turned to Arjuna. What work will Dhananjaya, who possesses invincible power, who is the joy of the Kurus and before whom the god of Agni appeared as a Brahmin begging a favor, accept? As the sun is the foremost of all planets, the Brahmin the best of all men, and the thunderbolt the best of all weapons, so Arjuna is the best of all archers. What humble office can he accept, having gone to heaven and obtained all celestial weapons, after pleasing the god of gods, Shiva? I think Krishna's friend does not deserve to be reduced to such a plight. Right, so Arjuna was worried of Yudhishthir because he's the emperor of the world. But Arjuna, he's the personal friend of Krishna. And he went to the heavenly planets in his own body. He didn't have to change bodies. And then spent time there, got all the weapons from all the demigods. They gave them personally to him. It's not that they send them through, you know, through courier or Amazon or something. They personally gave them to him, right? So you know, then he's thinking, well, actually, his position is something. Arjuna then remembered Urvasi's curse and Indra's subsequent instruction. O ruler of the earth, I shall become a member of the third sex, a eunuch. In order to conceal the scars the bowstring has made on my arms, I will wear numerous bangles. With bright gold earrings and braided hair, I will go before the king as Brihannala and offer to instruct his ladies in singing and dancing, right? Because when he was in the heavenly planets, then his friend, the Gandharva friend, then he taught him all the arts and, you know, all the arts and science, that all the arts of the Gandharvas, you know, how to sing, how to dance, how to play music, you know, everything to do with Gandharva Veda. Because, you know, his friend was the king of the Gandharvas, and so naturally he'll be the best. And so Arjuna, being the qualification he is, he'll also be the best. So then if he's doing this, no one, there won't be anybody in the court that can teach the women to that degree. You know, and who wants to have, all, you know, any of these professional musicians and singers outside be, you know, coming so regularly into the court for the ladies' chambers, you know, because, you know, they get to be a distraction, but he can live there with them and teach them and everything like that. Yeah. And so when he says, I will wear numerous bangles, like, you know, ladies will wear a small amount of bangles, but you'll see is like the gypsies and sometimes the village, you know, ladies like in Rajasthan and some other, they will have bangles from here to here. So that will cover all his. And it'll match. If he's a eunuch, they always overdo it. You know, it's like, because if you're a lady, you just be a lady. But if you're a eunuch, you know, and you're in that, you have to over exert yourself in there. So it'll look very, very natural. With bright gold earrings, okay, sorry. I have acquired proficiency in these skills from the Gandharvas. Living in the king's seraglio, means inside the inner court, the harem, I will act as a female and please the king and his women by my services and by reciting many stories. But he can tell all kinds of stories because he would have heard so many stories himself, and, you know, the different things he can talk about, what these great kings have done and all these things, and he's hung out with the Gandharvas. They're very expert in stories like that. On being asked for my background, I will say that I was formerly a waiting maid in Yudhishthir's palace. O king, hiding myself in this way as fire is concealed by ashes, I will pass my days during this last year. Yudhishthir looked in wonder at Arjuna, a eunuch. How astonishing were the movements of destiny, right? So Indra arranged, he knew what would happen because he knew Arjuna was looking at Urvasi as, you know, as a mother in the line like this. So that's why he was showing interest. But for anybody else, they're showing interest in Urvasi out of desire. And so then when he mentions to her, when Indra mentions to her that he was looking, so she'll naturally think in that way. She'll go, and then when he refuses and sees her as mother, she's going to get upset and curse him. And so therefore, such a qualified woman approaching such a qualified man, the man is not, and according to Kshatriya duty, technically, then he should interact. But being that he's following human morality, not Deva morality, amongst the demigods, there's not a problem. But amongst humans, he sees her as someone in the line. But otherwise, she's right there, he's right there. It's like, it only in our timeline that it looks so long, but otherwise. So then she curses him to be a eunuch, right? Because he's not using his prowess. And so then Indra then works it out that the curse will remain, but it'll be applied whenever you want for 1 year, because he knows about this incognito period. So then the natural thing is now he can use it then. Otherwise, why would you want to use it anywhere else? You know, he's not going to use it on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, right? You know, so this is the time, right? He turned to Nakula, who asked him how he planned to appear before Virat. Nakula replied, "I shall be the keeper of horses known as Grantika. I am thoroughly acquainted with all aspects of horsemanship and enjoy that work. O king, horses are as dear to me as you are. I will tell Virat that I was previously in charge of Yudhishthira's horses." So in other words, all of them are taking one of the branches of knowledge of the 64 arts that they know. And because they're going in as servants, so that means Shudras, that means arts. So whichever art that, you know, is most dear to them or that they're expert at, or, you know, like this, then that's what they're doing. So Bhimit will be the cooking and all wrestling and all these. So then for Nakula, it'll be the horses. Yudhishthira finally asked Sahadev what disguise he would assume. The youngest Pandava replied that he would become a cowherd. "This work pleases me, O king. I possess the skills of taming, milking, and breeding cattle. I can recognize all the signs and characteristics of different kinds of cows and bulls, known as Tantripala. I shall thus render service to Virata, telling him that I used to work in that capacity for Yudhishthira." Because it's natural. Yudhishthira leaves, then they're not there, then what do? So they wander around, they just all happen to be coming at this time. Yudhishthira looked across at Draupadi, who sat near the brothers. "Here is our beloved wife. She is dearer to us than life. Like a mother, she is to be cherished, and like an elder sister, respected. How will she appear before Virat? She is not accustomed to the position of servant, and has been accustomed from birth to royal opulence." Draupadi replied, "O Lord, there's a class of maid known as Sairindri, who serves others. It is understood that no respectable lady would accept such service. I will conceal myself in that guise, saying that I was formerly Draupadi's waiting maid. I will serve Sudeshna, the king's esteemed wife. By my expert service of dressing hair and ornamenting the queen, I will please her. Do not be anxious for me, O king." So the Sairindri, like that, she's a maid who does all these little menial services for the queen. Because as maidservants, everybody will be trying to be the personal associate. You know, wherever the queen goes, they walk with them and they talk and they give advice and all these kind of things like that. They'll want to be those kind of maidservants, the ones that are more like friends. You know, they're junior, but they're friends. But here in this case, she'll be someone who just does the menial service like that, you know, does hair, does this, that, you know, grinds, you know, the ointments and all these kind of things. And so because of that, no one would think she would be doing. She comes in and does these other things, and then how she deals, how she walks, how she talks, how she advises, they would think, no, you're a higher class woman. Where are you from? Why are you here? You're not a servant. Same thing happened with Damayanti. When she came in, she made it clear that she was not going to do that kind of service. So then when she made it clear what were the things that she mentioned she wouldn't do, she wouldn't eat someone else's remnants, she wouldn't do this, she wouldn't do that, all within the realm that is bona fide for being a maidservant in the house, the queen went, "Well, wait a minute, that particular combination is from this particular royal family. Who are you?" Right? You know, so then Damayanti then explained, you know, the whole thing and what happened. And so then, wanting to help her in her guise, then she made her the assistant that's always with the princess. And being with the princess, she could train her exactly how to be a princess, because Damayanti was a higher grade princess than even this queen. Those, you know, and so she could train her all very, very nicely. And the queen would keep the secret in that. No one's expecting anything. But here, you want to be careful like that, like this. As I mentioned before, Dharmaraj had given them the boon, but Arjuna's point is we should still be very careful. You know? And so then they're going, so she'll take that of more of a menial maidservant. And then no one would expect, because she won't be around long, she won't have to hang out with all of them. You know, they won't insult her so much, or if they do, she's just doing these kind of things. And so it's not going to be, it'll be easier to work. She'll get more time on her own also. Okay. Yudhishthira looked at his devoted wife. She was prepared to undergo any austerity to serve her husbands. Although she was energetic and accomplished, it would not be easy for her to accept the position of menial servant to someone inferior. And her stay in Virat would be fraught with danger from lusty men who thought she had no protector. Yudhishthira said, "You have spoken well. Devoted as you are to piety and chastity, you are a stranger to sin. You should behave yourself in Virata in such a way that no wicked man might become attracted to you." Right? And so she's going to take this, but behave in such a way, because she's extremely beautiful. We saw what happened with, the last guy? Jayadratha. You know, just, he was just so overwhelmed, you know. He's already married, he was going for another marriage, and then he saw her, and says he didn't care for anybody else. But, So now they've all said what they're going to do and picked, so next time we'll see then how that unfolds. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.